Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone calls. First up is Bill in Belleville, Kansas, listening on the web. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
My question is, I just got done reading a book called The Climax of History by a James McKeever. I don't know if that name rings a bell with you, but he left me with a thought after reading his book. Well, number one, he seemed to be coming from a post-tribulation rapture, and he had mentioned that the bride of Christ is one thing, but the body of Christ is another. The body of Christ is what stays on the earth, but the bride of Christ is with Jesus in the New Jerusalem. I wonder if you can expound on that, and if so, how does the 144,000 fit in on that?
Well, the 144,000 is the full complement of God's people from every tongue and language and nation and people. It is the same thing as the great multitude, is the same entity seen from two different vantage points, kind of like the lion and the lamb. So the 144,000, again, is the full complement of God's people. It is God's chosen people. It's God's covenant community. It is what you find described by Paul as a cultivated olive tree.
Okay.
However, the notion that God has more than one people, and that one people is designated in one way and the other people designated another way, I think is decidedly unbiblical. The consistent teaching of Scripture, both Old and New Testament, is God has always only had one covenant community, one chosen people. Now, they're not chosen on the basis of their race, but they're chosen on the basis of their relationship. But that's why you can have Rahab or Ruth, though both were not Israelites. They were true Israelites. One was a Moabite, the other was a Canaanite, in the lineage of Jesus Christ, because ultimately it is adherence to Yahweh, the God of Israel, and then you are brought into all the types and shadows that ultimately point forward to Jesus Christ. And that's why we say there's one chosen people on both sides of the cross. They're the same chosen people in that they're beautifully connected by the cross, one looking forward to the cross through types and shadows, the other looking back at the cross, for Christ has already come, and therefore the substance has fulfilled the symbol. So the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, are two different ways of talking about the full complement of God's people. If you look at Revelation, that's precisely what you have. You have seven letters to a persecuted bride. You have seven judgments that fall on a prostituted bride. And then you have the bridegroom in the end carrying the purified bride over the threshold of heaven into the New Jerusalem, in which there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember reading in this book something like, it was only the overcomers in Revelation who actually become the bride of Christ. Everyone else is just the body of Christ.
Well, if you are the body of Christ, if you are a living stone in the temple of God, then you are, by virtue of that, an overcomer. And we are overcomers because we are in the overcomer. And that's made plain a lot of different ways in Scripture. For example, Paul in Galatians chapter 3 makes clear that Jesus is the only seed of Abraham. In other words, Abraham doesn't have seeds plural, but only a seed singular. And the double entendre, as you continue on through Galatians 3, is that if you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise, whether you're Jew or Greek, whether you're male or female, whether you're slave or free. If you are in Christ, then you are an heir according to the promise. So Abraham had his name changed to Abraham from Abram, because Abraham means father of many nations. So he is the father of all those who believe.
I appreciate your answer.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Michael, Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Michael.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Great, great. love your ministry, and I love supporting you.
Well, bless you.
I just want to know, I've read that angels are so much powerful beings than humans. When I read in the Bible in Genesis, I think it was Jacob who wrestled with an angel and held him until he blessed him. Is that true, or are you imagining it?
No, this is absolutely true. And remember, Genesis is laid out beautifully so that you can remember it. You can remember with the 10 fingers of your hand. On one hand, you can remember what happens in primeval history, from the history of creation to the history of Adam to the history of Noah, Noah's sons, and finally Shem, the father of all Near Eastern cultures. And then with the other hand, you remember Terah, father of Abraham. Then you remember Abraham's sons, and then you remember Jacob's sons. And Jacob is actually Israel. Jacob wrestles with God. Jacob has a name that's literally changed to Israel, which means he struggles with God. So what you have in the text here is what is called a Christophany or a theophany. It's an appearance of God in flesh. So God takes on temporary appearance in flesh. Every time in the Old Testament you read angel of Yahweh or angel of the Lord, the word angel is used as a qualifying phrase, and the word angel is used of Christ there in the sense of a messenger or an envoy, one who is sent to act on behalf of the Father. So that phrase, the angel of Yahweh, actually refers to Jesus Christ, not that he's an angel by nature, but rather the messenger of God.
Okay. I think I understand what you're saying. Well, just one other question, man. I listen to you a lot, and I've heard you speak about Joyce Meyer and T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen, and I kind of agree with what you're saying, but I got a little problem with it because I know a couple of people who were kind of messed up, and they joined their churches, and they have been doing a whole lot better. Could you just say that to me about them again?
Well, praise God for that. But you could say that about someone who joined Mormonism. The question is not whether someone cannot have a good experience within Mormonism. The question is it true? And I would say the same thing with the teachings of Joyce Meyer as an example of one of the people you just cited. You have to ultimately say, is what she is teaching, is it actually true? And we're called to test all things and hold fast to that which is good. So if someone calls me up and asks about her teachings, I will forthrightly say that she oftentimes twists the word of God. For example, she will say with great defiance that the Bible tells us that we are to call things that are not as though they were. What she's actually done is she's taken a passage, a very familiar passage, and she's twisted it. If you actually go to that passage, Romans 4:17, you'll find that that passage does not say what she says it says. It does not say that we are to call things that are not as though they were. It says that God calls those things that are not as though they were. So she's taken the text and twisted it. And most people, because unfortunately we live in the shadow of the Bible rather than the pages of the Bible, are unaware of the fact that she's tampered with the text. Now, this is not just a slip of the lip or a slip of the pen on her part. This is a consistent pattern on her part. And therefore, there are many things that she teaches that are decidedly unbiblical and that, quite frankly, compromise, confuse, or contradict essential Christian doctrine. So if someone asks me about what she teaches on a particular issue, I forthrightly tell them what she teaches and why that does not correspond to biblical orthodoxy. And I've laid that out clearly in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, where you have all the details and documentation, so you see that I'm not taking her out of context. It is not a pleasure to say that what she's teaching is false, but it is necessary. There are all kinds of people, televangelists, that have big platforms that are communicating heresy. And there is a biblical precedent for exposing that. During the Tylenol scare, a painkiller, Tylenol, was laced with cyanide and people identified it. and it was taken off the shelves. And the same thing should be done when people are communicating spiritual cyanide by the megadose. It should be identified, because this is not about no harm, no foul. This is not about something I have against a false teacher. It is that these teachers are ultimately deluding people and leading them astray. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, even from among your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. The reason he warned each one of them night and day with tears is because he loved them. He cared about them. And I think we should have the same attitude, as opposed to simply trying to be politically correct or popular. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone calls. Next up is Marvin listening in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Marvin.
Hi, Hank. I'm a fairly new believer in Jesus Christ. When you talk about God being transcendent and that he breaks time and space, do you have any Bible references to that statement?
Yeah, what we're saying, first of all, when we say that God is transcendent, is that God is outside of time and space. In other words, God is not limited by time and space. And that is why we can read in the scriptures that Jesus Christ is a lamb who was slain before the foundations of the world. We can recognize the transcendence of God in so many different ways, however. For example, if you look at Deuteronomy, acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. Or in 2 Chronicles 2, but who is able to build a temple for him since the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain him? Who then am I to build a temple, says Solomon, except as a place to burn sacrifices before him? And you find this as a consistent theme throughout the Bible, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. He does not share the limitations of humanity, and therefore we say he is a transcendent, sovereign God. We reflect his communicable attributes, but transcendence is an incommunicable attribute that finds no reflection in humanity.
Okay. Well said. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And of course, much more could be said. There are many verses that underscore the transcendence of God, but it is also something that we could call legitimately a theological deduction that comes from the whole of Scripture. Next up is Loretta, listening in Surrey, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Loretta.
Hi. How do you search for the kingdom?
Well, the way you search for the kingdom is to meet the king. And you do that by realizing that you're a sinner, being willing to repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. And when you do, Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom, will become more real to you than the very flesh on your bones, and you will inherit the kingdom. You'll be part of the kingdom. And that is not just in time, it is in eternity. For when the king returns, as he promised, he will appear a second time. Then the universe itself will be restored with no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. And you yourself will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And so as a resurrected person in a restored universe, you will...
Even if you read the Bible, like, don't you have to read the Bible to search for the kingdom?
Well, yes, but what I'm saying is the Bible teaches us that to meet the king is to experience his kingdom.
Okay.
To be part of the kingdom. And to meet the king and become part of the kingdom means that you recognize that you are a sinner, that you can never save yourself, to repent of that sin, which means that now you're going to do it God's way rather than your own way, and then to receive him as Savior and Lord of your life. And it's as simple, in one sense, as saying, Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner, I repent of my sin, and I receive you as my Savior and Lord. And when you do that with an earnest heart, Jesus Christ will take his abode in you. The king will live within you, and the kingdom of God will be at hand. You will be part of the kingdom.
Okay, but what will happen to atheists when Jesus comes back?
Well, God doesn't force anybody into his loving presence, and everyone on planet Earth has some testimony, both an external testimony, the creation cries out that there's a God, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. So you have an outer light. When you see the sun, moon, and stars, you know there has to be a creator. But you also have an internal knowledge of the existence of God. God has written a knowledge of himself on the tablet of our heart. So in the truest sense, people do not perish because they don't have enough light. It's because they despise light. That's what Jesus said. Light came into darkness, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So we have the light of creation. We have the internal light of conscience, which declares to us that there's a God. And if we respond to that, we will receive the light of Christ, precisely as I've just delineated to you. We'll recognize that we're sinners, we'll repent of our sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our life.
Okay.
So God doesn't force anybody into his loving presence. If someone wants to reject him, then that rejection is something that God honors. So as C.S. Lewis put it, there's only two kinds of people in the world, those who say to Christ, "Thy will be done," and those to whom Christ says in the end, "Thy will be done." In other words, if you don't want a relationship with me, God does not force that relationship on them for all eternity.
Okay. Thank you.
Bless you, Loretta. And back to the phone lines. Now we'll talk to Peter in Belgrade, Montana. Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Not a real deep theological question here. I certainly believe in tithing, and my life has been quite different when I've been obedient in that way. My predicament now is that I'm not home very often at all. I drive over the road long haul, and I've discerned which teachers I like and I think are, you know, truthful. I really enjoy your show. You've challenged me. You said things that I didn't really first agree with and forced me to get out the pick and shovel and start mining, you know? It's been great.
And I'm just excited about what you're saying, particularly the pick and shovel that you're talking about and the mining, because that's exactly what we're asking people to do. It's not to accept what I say, but to test what I say in light of Scripture. That drives you back into the biblical text, because it's not my words that ultimately are the final court of arbitration. It's the Word of God.
Exactly. Well, anyway, the problem I have is I don't have a home church. And what I've been doing is, you know, the ministries that, you know, are acceptable and true and, you know, are for change and truth, I've been spreading the money around that way. And, you know, because I like to tithe and then some. You know, it's an act of obedience. It's an act of love. It puts a smile on my face.
Hmm.
But, you know, when I listen to all of you guys, you know, they don't want my tithe. They'd like a gift. But I have no home church, and believe me, I don't want to continue this way for, well, I really don't want to do it another day, to tell you the truth, but I have to. You know, this is all I can find for work, and I'm going to have to do it for a while because, you know, I'm missing fellowship, which is seriously important. What do you think of that? What do you think of what I'm doing?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I think that it is very good that you are supporting ministries that are making a difference. If you were investing in companies, you would check out those companies and you'd invest in companies where you'd get the best financial return. And I think in the sense of ministry, you're looking to invest in those ministries where you can get the greatest spiritual return. But having said that, I think it is also very important to recognize that your longing for a fellowship is a very just and it is a natural longing, because when you were born again, you were not born again as a Lone Ranger Christian. You are born into a community of faith, and baptism actually signifies your identification visibly with the body of Christ. So it's very important that you feed that longing, because not only do you long for the body, but the body longs for you. So you should identify visibly with a local body of believers, because they need you and you need them. And of course, that's laid out in a beautiful way by Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, in Romans chapter 12. So I would really commend that you read that chapter, familiarize yourself with that chapter, because it makes so clear how important it is for you to identify visibly with the body of Christ in a local fellowship. I recognize you have a unique situation, but nonetheless, you can still identify with a body, even though you can't be there all the time.
Oh, okay. I hear what you're saying. Before I had to do this, after a move, there was a place I did go a few times and enjoyed, so I should identify myself with that local body and like to bill pay, you know?
Well, I mean, I think what's important is that you prudently invest your resources in the kingdom and that you make the wisest investment, because ultimately what you're doing is trying to extend his kingdom. So those ministries that are having the greatest impact are ministries that you are supporting now, and I think the Lord is pleased with that. And there's no telling what can be accomplished in our generation if more like you would catch the joy that you expressed of contagious giving. We'd be empowered to spread the gospel around the globe and make a difference for time and for eternity. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, for supporting this ministry. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of your questions answered right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.